There's no time to explain.
Oh my God, Dave, what's wrong?
I can't even explain it. There's no time. Just trust me. Go to patreon.com/don'tletstartpodcast. Do it now or the world explodes.
I just gotta check my phone first.
I'll do it at your leisure, but just do it.
Ready, Dave?
Everybody.
Hey, everybody.
We're still alive.
We're here.
We're here. Life is great. This is Don't Let's Start, a podcast about... Dave wanted to correct me. Actually, life is complicated.
My mouth was agape. Go ahead.
That's just a gross word I just never want to hear. We are Don't Let's Start, a podcast about They Might Be Giants, and we are agape with excitement today. I thought we would try something a little different. I always want to...
Let us try.
Won't you let us? I always want to, you know, play with the format of the show. I was putting together a bunch of breaking news items. You know, we like to... Well, we don't do this often enough is kind of my point. Keep you updated on what's going on with They Might Be Giants, new stuff unearthed from the past. And I just realized I got kind of a lot of stuff here. This might be an episode. This could just be an episode.
Let's see.
Why don't we just talk about this for an episode?
Let's see if we can fill some time.
Plus, we have some important, drastically important stuff about our own show.
Yes.
To talk about. And I was like, that could be part of the episode.
You turn into Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. So let's get into it.
You say you've got some very excellent news.
I wanted to... tell Dave. Dave's kind of here to react.
Hey.
I wanted to tell...
That's my reaction.
I wanted to tell Dave about some new stuff going on in They Might Be Giants world.
Yeah. I'm out of the loop. I missed some of the news.
Well, so I was out of the loop too. And
all right,
I wanted
don't feel
to,
so bad.
I wanted to give a thank you to John Euless.
Thank you, John.
John, as you might already know, he kind of... he runs TMBW, or he's one of the main people there.
The head honcho.
I just kind of like messaged him like, what have I missed in They Might Be Giants stuff? And he like wrote it all out for me. And I was like, oh my God. Okay. You're the news guy.
Yeah. Yeah. The man on the street.
So one of the things that I thought was interesting, and this has been like a long time coming.
Yeah.
They're
breaking up.
No more They Might Be Giants. No more podcasts.
Yeah.
That's the announcement. Goodbye. No. We finally
God
know,
forbid.
Well, this is also news in a way. I didn't even plan to talk about this.
Yeah.
Did you see them on the Tim Heidecker show?
Just a little bit of it.
His podcast on YouTube.
I didn't see the whole thing.
We got the whole thing. They did talk about what they would do if one of them died. They said they'd had to talk about it with like their management and make a contract.
Well, he's on tour right now as Steely Dan. Now, let's say one of you pass.
Yeah.
Do we get They Might Be Giants?
We've had this discussion. We talked to a lawyer long ago about this. I think it'll be
Donald Fagen's They Might Be Giants.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, basically, we hammered out this thing probably in the 90s with our agreement, which was we can't... No,
there's no They Might Be Giants without both of
us. It has to be both of us, yeah. Good. So that was the initial plan. And we kind of had to fight with the lawyer because she was like, you know, are you sure?
Yeah, because we're leaving a lot of money on the table. People don't care.
But the one thing that was weird is that when we sort of re-examined it and cracked it open like 3 years ago, it was also like it sort of basically stopped all business under the name They Might Be Giants,
including
making any kind of like, secondary, you know, like a compilation album or
there has to be a way for the entity to continue to generate.
The way it was like, you know, set up before, we couldn't have like a new t-shirt design. We couldn't have the in memoriam.
Right. Yes.
T-shirt design.
You get into like a
fundraising for the funeral expenses.
They do have a stipulation that the other cannot call themselves They Might Be Giant. Whatever project cannot be called They Might Be Giants.
Yeah.
Which isn't that way for a lot of bands, actually. I mean,
I guess because
Queen tours, right?
And yeah.
Yeah, there's only two of them, I guess. But yeah.
I mean, as obviously they're both, the main guys.
They're both so fundamental to the project that if you lose one, Flansburgh can't go on a tour. Flansburgh's the one that'll be alive in this scenario.
Okay.
Plans are.
What do you know?
Plans are is gonna go on. Well, the man survived a car crash, so I think he's unstoppable. Flansburgh can't go on a tour called They Might Be Giants.
Linnell survived a bike crash.
And sing all of Linnell's songs. That's true. Yeah. And you're still holding it over his head.
I mean, it was 30 years ago, but still.
Yeah. It's going to be a long, delayed reaction. So, yeah, he can't call himself They Might Be Giants.
That makes sense.
And it does make sense. But he'd have to call. You think they do like. So here's my.
Well, they're also both the songwriters. I think maybe that's the X factor.
It's not, because this is the worst case scenario. I'm sorry if I'm going to offend people. Bare Naked Ladies. Mm-hmm.
You did offend me just now.
just mentioning them in your presence.
Yeah.
No, I mean, they're like, I tried out of morbid, and let's say darkly morbid curiosity, I tried to watch on YouTube a recent Bare Naked Ladies concert because, as some might know, they lost their, I'm going to say it, main songwriter. Mm. I know people might quibble with that. I think that it's more split, but
yeah, I don't know anything about.
Yeah, so like Stephen Page, the main
lost,
you know,
like something happened.
It's like losing your John Linnell. No, like they broke up.
He didn't die.
No, well, he got arrested for drugs and stuff.
Oh,
right as they put out a kids album, which is really funny. I'm sure they didn't think it was funny.
Probably not.
But no, so Stephen Page, they like parted ways. They did do a little reunion performance, so I think there's not too bad blood there. But Stephen Page left the band, and I checked out, and this was years ago, this isn't new, but I checked out their album they made after, and I thought it was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just, it indicated to me that all of the talent...
Yeah, yeah.
At least songwriting talent, because the band, they're good musicians. It indicated to me that all of, like, the secret recipe was Stephen Page. And this was furthered by the fact that Stephen Page's solo album just sounded like if you're a fan.
Well, there you go.
A great Bare Naked Ladies album with, like, you know, it had, like, dark, funny lyrics. It had, like, different genres of songs, you know, different tempos, different arrangements, the kind of stuff you expect as a fan of, like, a college rock, you know, pop band. And then the Bare Naked Ladies.
I guess he was the guy.
The Bare Naked Ladies album that came out was all these slow, mid-tempo, boring songs with like terrible lyrics.
You know, that actually happened when Brett Gurewitz left Bad Religion for two albums. Well, he left for three albums. And the first one sounded like every other Bad Religion album. So I'm like, okay. Because they're both the songwriters, Brett Gurewitz and Greg Graffin.
Oh.
And then, so Grey Race was all Greg Graffin. Sounded great. And then the next two albums, which I like, but they're definitely different. They're like a little slower, more mid-tempo.
Wow.
And then Brett Gurewitz came back and they made like one of their best albums ever. So, yeah, I guess it does happen. It's different than like Metallica losing a bass player tragically.
Yeah.
And then they get a different
so, like,
bass
if
player.
Metallica lost Lars or James Hetfield,
yes.
You think they should not call themselves Metallica anymore?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
They're Metallica.
So,
I would even argue maybe you could still lose Lars. Maybe.
It's just fun to make fun of Lars because he's so serious. He's so self-serious. It's just fun to make fun of him.
But he has a lot of input in the songwriting process and how the songs are structured and what riffs they use and the editing process. Yeah.
Well, so in my opinion, these guys touring as Bare Naked Ladies, it's like you are not.
That's weird.
You have lost, like, if not 60% of what made you special, at least 50%. And they do his songs. And they sing them, and it's like it's kind of bizarre as someone who used to be a big fan. So yeah, They Might Be Giants like couldn't do that. Yeah, check out Office Hours podcast with They Might Be Giants. It was fantastic. Actually, that same week they were also on Scott Aukerman's. Did you hear that?
No.
It's called It's called CBB.
I have a 2-month-old. I've been running around a bit.
It's called CBB-FM. It's Comedy Bang Bang, but it's a really fun show where they basically, the guests pick songs to talk about, and they just talk about music, and it's kind of not dissimilar from our show.
Not undelicious.
They Might Be Giants went on that, and it was really fun. I loved, like, me and Kristen listened to that on a car trip, and we were just loving it. We didn't want it to stop.
I'll have to check that
so
out.
So interesting. But yeah, so
you're supposed to keep me informed of this. Email me. Tell me to listen to stuff.
Aye.
So neither of them can keep, They Might Be Giants.
They can't be called They Might Be Giants if one of them drops out or drops dead.
Or tunes out. Tunes up.
Tunes out and fades away.
I would assume the other would still do music.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder.
I just feel like it's.
I wonder
blood.
If Landsberg would just be like Monopuff forever now, or would he make a new name? Which I would guess that because Monopuff's a very specific thing.
Well, he just did a little project under a new name.
He did. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about that yet. It's not out yet, right? No, we can talk about it because everyone knew. No. Wow, Dave just got ghost white. No,
and for me, that's a feat.
Yeah,
I'm very white, folks.
We're both white. We're both.
I mean, pale.
We're both cis white males. And I'm sorry. No. What the fuck were we saying? Oh no. Flansburgh did put out a solo thing. We have both heard it. We both listened to it. We both listened to it in the car and had a lot of thoughts, which we could not record for the show. But one day we will discuss it because there's a lot. I think there's a lot to discuss there. So yeah, I mean, let's say Flansburgh is the one who
departed. Is this the news that you wanted to talk about?
I wanted to. Well, we're kind of like this is like pre-news because this hasn't happened yet. But I'm just curious what you think. Let's say it's Linnell is the remaining mortal. would he just be John Linnell? Because he used to be John Linnell in The Statesman, which we'll get to in our show one day. It is a great name, actually. No matter what kind of songs you're doing.
But I don't know if he'd just be doing state songs.
No, yeah, right. He wouldn't, right? He would probably.
I guess it would be a good excuse to like do the other two albums for state songs.
You've got me wanting John Flansburgh to die, Dave, and I don't appreciate that.
I didn't
that.
Say that.
Okay, yeah.
That's your own thing to work out.
You think that's the only way to get more state songs? No. We want more.
I just said it was a good opportunity.
We want. That's like what a mafia guy. It'd be a good opportunity. Just think about it.
What's not said.
Dave's like speaking in code to me. No, yeah.
It'd be a shame if something happened. That's all I'm saying. I don't wish any ill will.
Okay, tangent on a tangent, but there's a great, one of my favorite like internet communities is YouTube Sopranos fans.
Yeah.
Because their comments are hysterical and they're not just funny, they're really perceptive and smart. Because they know this show and they know all of, like the complexities of it. And there's this great, if you look up on YouTube, the scene of Tony talking to Ralphie about like business stuff.
A lot
Someone made an incredible
there.
Comment.
I think
where
I saw that.
I showed it to you. I think unless you saw you have a life beyond me. You could have seen it on your own.
I mean, if you could call it that.
Someone made a great comment where they did it like. English to or mafia to English translation where he rewrites
double speak.
Yeah. Like he rewrites what every line is actually saying.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. Cause I'm like one, these writers are geniuses. Cause that's everything the guy writes is true. But I was like, I missed a lot of this when I first saw the show. And even when I rewatched the show, I missed a lot of this anyway, tangent. Yeah, I think John Linnell and the Statesman is a great name for a band, but it wouldn't make sense. I would imagine, though, like a lot of solo acts, like Frank Black started doing Pixies songs a few years in.
Mm-hmm.
Like they'd probably still perform They Might Be Giants songs, but I wonder like what that would morph into, like if there'd be some new solo stuff and new, but it can't be called They Might Be Giants.
Yeah.
But I guess what I was asking before a long time ago, would it have a name that evokes They Might Be Giants? Like maybe a silly, I'm a giant or something? Probably not.
Yeah, I don't think there would be any reference to that.
Yeah.
I mean, Frank Black was just Frank Black when he did
Frank Black, which was an inversion, though, of Black Francis, which was his Pixies name. So it kind of was
a little
funny reference.
Also.
Then he did that, too.
And he had the Catholics, so if they had a new band, maybe it would be like John Linnell and the...
Linnell John. Like he'll do what Frank Black
and the new band, whatever they'd be called,
Puff Mono. Yeah, okay.
But you know what? Let's not hope for any of this.
No, I mean, what is incredible to me, and this is kind of related to this latest interview I listened to with them, is like they're still so inspired and active and energetic, and they we'll talk about this. They have a new album coming out apparently, and they've apparently recorded tons of stuff that they're going to pick from. And
those guys,
I don't understand how they do all this stuff. I mean, I've written a lot of songs in my day, but actually recording it and getting it out is really, that's a lot of effort. It's like this I guess it's just what their routine is.
I mean, the last album I made was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. It's harder than raising a child.
You guys should listen to it. It's great. So it's really great.
I mean, just even the studio process is, it takes a lot. So
it's exhausting.
I mean, they must just live in the studio every day.
Yeah. Okay, so one of the first news items I wanted...
Oh, I thought we talked about the news already.
I mean, honestly,
We didn't even get to the news.
What's our most beloved episodes is when we go through a TMEG album, but I sometimes feel like we can just have a general TMEG discussion show and just talk about them in general ways.
Sure.
Because there's...
This is America.
You know, I've met multiple people in the past few weeks that...
I have, too.
That have said... Well, you cheated. You made a person.
Oh. I meet him.
You've got to get outside your house to meet people.
No,
usually.
No deal.
Multiple people have said to me, and these are background jobs and stuff when I'm making conversation, when I mention the podcast, multiple people have said, how do you do a whole podcast about one band? Like, they just don't understand. Mm-hmm. To them, it's like you do an episode about a band.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's just a lot to talk about. I don't know. I mean, yeah, there's some repeated topics, but...
Sure.
But like,
boy, is there.
This is like a band with decades of material to pour over, right?
Exactly.
I don't know. It's weird. It doesn't even occur to me that that would not be a thing.
I mean, we're not even like a tenth into their albums.
No, we're not.
So they got a lot of albums.
We're still in.
A lot of references.
We're dipping into finally the later 90s, though. I mean, that's an achievement.
We did like a decade.
We did a decade. Well, and then our next episode's going to go back again to the 80s.
Oh, I guess we never got anywhere.
We're kind of stuck, yeah. we're on the hamster wheel of They Might Be Giants. Okay, this was something John Euless talked to me about, which I thought was incredibly fascinating. Revealed the date of their very first show, El Grupo de Rock and Roll, Central Park. That date has not been known.
Oh, really?
But now we know it. It was... July 18th, 1982. This is breaking news, and it's kind of a funny way that this happened. I'm going to say what it says on the wiki. The date was unknown by fans for decades until June 2023. A listing was discovered that mentioned a three-day festival to celebrate the third anniversary of Nicaraguan Revolution in a July 1982 issue of The Militant, a socialist news weekly.
Perfect
and
fit.
Then that was confirmed by John Flansburgh and John Linnell separately. So that's...
Wow.
These things being discovered is...
For some reason, I thought that date was already down in...
No.
In this, the annals of history.
It was, like, rough, maybe.
Yeah.
But finding that old thing for this rally is really crazy. We also know the very first They Might Be Giants show date, where they're named They Might Be Giants. Mm-hmm. And that's because on a flyer that's shown very briefly in Gigantic, the documentary, it lists a bunch of early dates, and it has a Dr. B's date, February 13th. So this actually contradicts. They used to call it the 23 show because they said it was on the 23rd of the month and 23 people were there.
On the 23rd month.
Yeah, and they on the 23rd month. And they said it was a snowstorm. John Euless commented to They Might Be Giants on Facebook saying, oh, we found these dates from this flyer. And then Flansburgh replied, Mr. Euless, correct the official TMBW record. So that's just cool. Wow. I mean, I just want, one thing I want to talk about that, I just love the interaction, John and John and the wiki. It's great.
The third John.
It's really great having these like dates down. And also like, you know, getting those dates down, maybe we could uncover more. So now that we know the date, like we could find more newspapers or ads or whatever. Someone had to have recorded that goddamn first few shows.
I'm sure it's out there somewhere.
It's got to exist somewhere.
Come on, internet sleuths.
You know what's funny is like I obsessively recorded all my shows.
Yeah.
Not in the assumption that I'd be famous and people would want it one
no,
day.
No, never.
At least,
no.
At least personally me. And it's like, I'm glad I did because during the pandemic, I put a bunch of them on YouTube. And no one really... They're out there, people, if you want to watch me perform music. You can hear Dave in the audience in a lot of them.
I'm like, you suck.
He's booing me. Yeah. That's how we met, right? Anyway, Dave, next news item.
Oh, it's good news.
This is something I'm really excited about. Nick Rocks. Okay, some fans might know Nick Rocks was a show on Nickelodeon that played music videos. It was like MTV for children, as opposed to MTV, which is MTV for babies. Just kidding. Mm-hmm. Little satire. There.
It's only 15 years too late.
Yeah. Remember MTV? Yeah. Let me tell. Okay, first we have to explain what MTV is. Nick Rocks was a show that apparently often featured They Might Be Giants at their, well, I won't say their prime, but at their youthful, time in the 80s during Lincoln and the first album and Flood even. They used to be guest hosts on Nick Rocks.
Nick Rocks. Nick Rocks. Nick Rocks. Hi, this is John.
And John.
Of They Might Be Giants, and we're here on Nick Rocks, favorite rock video show. It's our favorite because they play all our videos all the time. We're going to see every video we've ever made on Nick Rocks tonight or today, whatever time it might be at your house. And we're also going to be performing a special live song. So stay tuned to
Nick Rocks. Nick Rocks. Nick Rocks. Nick Rocks.
The first glimpse of this that fans got was on the gigantic DVD extras. I don't know if you ever explored those, Dave.
No. Maybe. We're going back a ways now.
We're going back a ways, but you know, me and you will maybe we'll explore those in the future when we talk about gigantic.
I did, yeah. But I didn't know about Nick Rocks.
Yeah, so Nick, what's funny is like I grew up
watching.
That's
hard to say. Nick Rocks.
I grew up watching Nickelodeon. I didn't know Nick Rocks. Mm-hmm. This is like, I think I was even too little for that.
I never had cable.
It was like mid 80s, so I was like 3 years old.
Gotcha.
So this was crazy. Neil Krupnik, he was a Nick Rocks producer. Mm-hmm. I love this person. He found an old tape, great quality tape, of They Might Be Giants co-hosting Nick Rocks, not the one on the gigantic DVD.
Okay.
And he uploaded it, and he, mentioning John Euless again, he sent it to John.
Wow.
John put it on YouTube, and then a bunch of other people just put it on their YouTube. So I wanted to show you this, Dave, and talk about their performance a little bit.
Let's see what this is all about, folks.
Yeah, check this out. This, I mean, tickled me is not even the right word. This, I was just in awe of this. As anyone knows, They Might Be Giants fans. Mm. We want to see this stuff. We want to see that early, those early appearances. To me, this is like gold.
Early ephemera.
Welcome to the Nick Rocks wacky show featuring a lot of crazy and stupid videos with our crazy and smart guest host, They Might Be Giants. This is Joe from Chicago. I'm gonna back off, Jack, and hand things over to John and John. Both of them. It's your show, guys.
Thanks, Joe. When John and I were four, we went to the New York World's Fair in 1964 in Flushing, Queens. And that's where we shot our video for the song, Don't Let's Start. Word!
This is a weird fucking show.
Dave says that as someone who didn't grow up with Nickelodeon. The reason Nickelodeon was so great, not to get on a tangent, but I mean, there's context here. It's important. It was a little weird. Like, it understood that kids like weirdness, kind of like a Ren Stimpy kind of discovered. It's like kids like weirdness, and they like kind of non sequiturs.
Yeah.
And that's why They Might Be Giants are so perfect for certain kinds. Kinds of kids. Like, some kids are like, that's weird. But, like, me as a kid, like, I wanted weird, you know, and I still do as an adult.
Yeah.
Now that I'm really into kinky fetish
stuff. Straight-laced. Network TV.
Yeah, exactly. Sesame Street and stuff. Yeah. No, like Nickelodeon had a touch of like weird, quirky kid to it. Yeah. So anyway, they play Don't Let's Start, and they also perform. This is like amazing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Cowtown music video, but like I am happy with this being the music video for Cowtown. It is really perfect. So check this out.
Lives beneath the ocean, that's where I will be, beneath the waves and waves, and that's where I will be. I'm gonna see the cow beneath the sea. Yeah! The yellow Roosevelt Avenue leaf overturned. The ardor of our boreality is an adventure we have spurned. We spurned a new leaf overturned. It's a new leaf overturned.
This is weird even for them.
Yeah. What you are not seeing if you haven't checked this out on YouTube, there's little, I think they're like German polka kind of dancers under them, superimposed on the screen.
Shrunken people.
Shrunken people.
Good song.
You know, not to digress, because you are going to talk about Cowtown soon in an episode about the demos. I never get tired. Every time I hear Cowtown, I'm like, I get that little lift in my spirits. You know what I mean?
I do. I really do.
I wanted to play you. I'm not going to play the whole thing because there's so much for people to discover. I'm just going to play you I can't even pick. I'm going to play you a bit of my favorite funny part that made me laugh so much that I had to show Kristen right away when I saw this.
Oh. My
my favorite band.
Oh, yes, yes, here it comes. It's Jim Van Morrissey and his Smiths.
They're from England, and they've got a song called Stop Me, if you've heard this one before.
Oh, here it comes.
It has bicycles in it. Oh, I love bikes.
I think that's adorable. In case you couldn't hear, Linnell Flansburgh makes Linnell laugh. I just love this stuff. I love this stuff so much. And I'm going to play one more funny clip, and then the rest we will discuss maybe another time.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot here. Maybe. There's a lot to unpack.
Maybe not.
And now they've got the carpets on their heads.
We're back! They might be giants! Shaking the ground with funny car power! We've got a lot of big, big videos for you, including the Screaming Blue Messiahs and a big surprise, our video!
Ah, you ruined the surprise!
Surprise!
So, yeah.
Well, that was something.
That was one of the things. Yeah, you know, it's funny. We don't do the news updates on our show much because we're kind of all like overloaded with stuff we're covering, but I was like, fuck, like some fans don't know about this stuff, that this stuff is out there. So yeah, YouTube, just go to YouTube, do They Might Be Giants, Nick Rocks, you'll see it. It's so great. They do more songs. It's just wonderful. And thank you to Neil Krupnik for getting this up there. Another thing I wanted to talk about that it's like, we're, you know, when in our normal show should I talk about this? I saw John Flansburgh perform.
Yes, you did.
Dave, this was crazy. I just want to like tell this story and maybe show Dave some of this. Did you watch this?
I did not.
Oh, well, perfect.
So this will be good for me. I almost went, but again, I have
Dave's got, I know,
a 2-month-old.
Yeah, it's
got to pick your battles.
There's a lot of things where I would normally invite Dave to a thing, but I'm like, I just can't do that because I don't want to make him feel bad for missing something. Anyway, middle-aged dad jam band played. And what if you don't know who that is, it's two guys from the States. It's David Wayne and Ken Marino. A lot of you might know them from various other things they've done are more popular than the State.
Wet Hot American Summer.
Wet Hot American Summer, Party Down, and Wanderlust, all these movies, right, that they've all done. And Children's Hospital, Ken Marino and David Wayne did that. But it's really great, by the way. I recommend it. Hilarious show. During the pandemic, they started jamming in their garage. Well, not their garage, in a garage, I think David Wayne's garage, covering classic rock songs. And then they got kind of serious about it and went on tour. So we went to see the State live, and there were flyers there being like, John Flansburgh, in 2 days with middle-aged dad jam band, which I wasn't interested in seeing until that point.
Right.
Because I was like, yeah, it's a bunch of covers, whatever. What I didn't realize at the time, it's basically a comedy show. There's bits that are pre-written.
There you go.
Between all the songs and during some of the songs. So there is a lot of, like, you're just listening to covers of these songs that you may or may not be interested in. But it's like 50% a comedy show with, like, hilarious, like, bits. They had tons of guest stars there. It was actually a crazy night for a lot of reasons. That's why I wanted to talk about it.
Go on.
Well, one, a lot of They Might Be Giants fandom were there. So, like, I said hi to John Euless. I said hi to other people that were there.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like a who's who.
What was that like?
It was very cordial. Not that tense.
Good, good.
All the bad blood is behind us. Who was behind me in the audience? Sean Altman.
You didn't even let me guess.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Sean Altman, who you might know, he wrote and sang Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Of course.
Rockapella. He has a great solo career that I might have mentioned on the show. I love his solo albums. He performed with They Might Be Giants a few times, and People Are Wrong and Loser's Lounge and stuff like that. He was like behind me at the show for a time, so I turned around and said hi to him.
I was going to guess Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah. So I talked to Sean Altman. He was really nice.
Nice.
So that was crazy. Like, that was just, I was like, how is this? This is insane.
Yeah.
And then the show itself, on top of John Flansburgh, it had tons of guest stars. Paul Rudd showed up. Martin Starr, you know who you know from Freaks and Geeks and Party Down and stuff, did a bit. Justin Theroux did a bit with Paul Rudd that was hilarious. It was just like a crazy, really fun night. And then about halfway through the show, they were ending their first, it was a long show, they did 2 full sets. Mm-hmm. They were ending the first set, and they introduced Flansburgh, and I took a video, and it's on our YouTube page, everyone. If you go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/, I guess it's @ Don't Let's Start, a podcast about TMVG.
Long title.
Long title.
Not a good title.
I uploaded then and there, right after he got off stage, I uploaded this video because I wanted to...
News travels fast.
Yeah. Flansburgh sang Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run, and he did a little bit of a comedy bit with them, too.
Cool.
That was funny, and I'll play it for Dave. Let's watch some of the Born to Run, and guess what? You get to listen. I knew Flansburgh was at this show, but one funny thing that happened was when they announced John Flansburgh, this guy next to me freaked the fuck out. He was like jumping up and down and like losing his mind. And he like turned to the person he was with and he was like, "They might be giants. Holy shit." And I was like, I talked to him a little and I'm like, I got to tell him about the podcast. But
you're like, buddy, you got to tone it down.
No. I was encouraging him.
Dial it back.
He was a nice guy though, but I did not tell him about the show, but maybe one day he'll discover us. It was just loud and kind of chaotic in there.
If that's you and you're listening to the show, right?
Yeah,
in.
Seriously, you seem like a cool guy. Let's be friends. Dave needs a friend.
I sure do.
Yeah, I wanted to tell him about the show, but after when the crowd dispersed, he was gone. He was gone just like that.
The one that got away.
Yeah, he's my never was or whatever.
Did he leave a shoe behind?
He left a shoe. I still have it. It's disgusting.
Yeah, that'd be a very different story if it was a man's shoe.
Yeah, that's right. Women's shoes are so nice.
It's like a gross sneaker. Go on.
And it was like raining and in 11th Avenue in Manhattan. Just
a
like
mud sneaker.
Disgusting thing.
Mud sneaker.
Another thing good I just wanted. Mud sneaker is a good band name. So you could find that on our YouTube channel. And I also wanted to mention that I've been updating the YouTube with, you know, I turn our beloved segments that we do here into visual dynamos on our channel. I had the goal of, I thought, honestly, it's because Flood is their most popular album. I was like, I should just do all of our Flood discussion.
Sure.
I don't know.
It was a good discussion.
It was. It was a very long, it was the longest discussion I've ever had.
One for the record books.
15 hours long discussion. I did the first part of it where we just sort of discussed the making of the album, and I made that into two little videos.
Cool.
I think the visuals are really cool. I tried to really dig up a lot of cool stuff about the album that maybe we didn't even talk about. So check that out.
Check those out, folks.
And I also put together our See the Constellation segment into a video. Lots of cool Ramones and Monkees stuff. I did a montage of Monkees and Ramones kind of almost as if it's one music video. And it's going back and forth and it's all crazy.
Ingenious.
A lot of fun stuff. Or check out our YouTube. It's kind of a weird, it's kind of like a side version of the show.
It's a side hustle.
A side hustle, yeah. It's the TaskRabbit of Don't Let's Start a Podcast About They Might Be Giants. Another thing I wanted to mention, I'm just fascinated by Flansburgh's sense of humor because it plays into his lyrics and stuff. As he was ending the song, as he was going off stage at the end, he yells out, and I'll play the clip. And it was almost hard to hear because it was so noisy, but he goes, "The Hold Steady is next."
Yeah.
I didn't notice that at the time, but when I was watching the video again, that's a hilarious observational joke because... Yeah. That song, especially that performance, was... Do you know The Hold Steady?
No.
It sounds exactly
Please
like...
Please educate me.
Yeah. I'm not here to... yeah. It sounds exactly like a Hold Steady song. A lot of Hold Steady songs are these kind of party-sounding jam songs with the guy ranting over it, like, "And then we hung out at night and we drove down the highway." Yeah. And I was like... Born to Run sounds like The Hold Steady. So Flansburgh somewhere in his brain is like, this sounds like The Hold Steady, so I'm going to make that joke. It's just such a quick-witted, interesting take on that song.
Everyone was funny and everyone was pretty, and everyone was coming towards the center of the city. The dance floor was crowded, the bathrooms were worse. We kissed in your car and we drank from your purse. I had my mouth on her nose when the chaperone said that we were dancing too close. We had some last night.
Who came first?
Bruce Springsteen. Hold Steady's kind of new.
Yeah, I thought so, right?
And maybe I'll play a clip. It's funny. Like, I wonder if Springsteen's a huge inspiration of them, because the reason I don't really like the Hold Steady, and I had a coworker who played Hold Steady like all day. All their songs are kind of the same, which is that it's like, it's kind of has that stadium rock feel with that organ, like the Bruce Springsteen-y organ.
Like Everything's Happening Tonight.
Everything's Happening Tonight. Yeah, yeah. Like, and he just kind of... There's some catchy choruses, but a lot of the verses is like Springsteen. A lot of the verses are just him kind of yelling, you know, like kind of just being like,
ah, shut up.
And then we did that, and it's a time I'll always remember, you know.
Yeah.
It's a very nostalgic band, you know. Right. Everything is about remembering this fun time in your life.
Hmm.
So I just, Flansburgh's joke about that. I was like, this probably went over a lot of people's heads, but that is like a very clever, funny joke.
The man's clever.
I mean, I'm not trying to suck up to him or anything.
Come on the show.
He has his flaws too. Let's tackle them right now. No. So I have been a huge fan of the State.
Yeah. I don't know them as well.
Yeah. More cable growing up. So I used,
God damn it.
I watched them when I was like a teenager, and I sort of never stopped following all of their careers.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like a loyal fan of things, as you might be able to tell. I even listened to that Bare Naked Ladies album.
Admirable.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like don't give up on things.
Yeah.
Because as long as they don't keep failing me over and over, Dave.
I give up on things.
To see like John Flansburgh there with Ken Marino doing a comedy bit with Ken Marino, like,
cool.
I was like, this is crazy. I love this. It was really fun watching him do Born to Run. He actually discussed this. This is another part of the news thing. John and John were recently on the KMSU show. They might be playing, They Might Be Giants, which happens every year. Flansburgh talked a bit about doing this. Let's listen to that.
Okay.
The KMSU people, they told me it's cool to play some clips.
Glad we cleared it.
Go to their YouTube. They have the full interviews with Flansburgh and Linnell. But check this out.
My friend Amy Miles invited me, and it was very spontaneous. You know, they were coming through town. They always have guest people. I was invited, and it seemed like it would be fun, and I just sort of jumped at the opportunity. I mean, basically, you know, seeing Born to Run is something that I've like done at like karaoke. I did try very hard to actually learn the words, which was a bigger assignment than I thought. Well, you know, they actually have, you know, their show is like epically long, and like a lot of modern shows, they actually do have one of those things like
a
teleprompter type thing.
Wow.
And so it was actually right then, and when I came to soundcheck, they said like you can do it off the prompter if you want to, and I was like, oh no, you know, it's actually, in a way, it's kind of great that it's there, but it's also something that can really diminish your performance. Because all of a sudden you're glued to it, and all your insecurities are kind of locked in.
What do you think of Bruce Springsteen's music, Dave?
See,
actually, I have no idea. No, I don't know.
It's a trap.
I can't guess.
I am.
You're
not
a man of the
a
people.
Fan.
Oh, okay.
At all?
Yeah, he'll come up again because actually John Linnell covers him as John Linnell in The Statesman. So we will talk about him again.
Well, I'm a really big fan of Santa Claus Is Coming to Town.
You are. Dave him. Used to sing this, used to sing Springsteen's version of this all the time.
So I like that one.
You like that?
Yeah.
Why do you like that one so much?
Because I've never heard a 37-minute version of that song before.
I thought you were going to say a 37-year-old man be that excited about Santa Claus.
I mean, Christmas music is already atrocious, but to belabor it... It's just the icing on the cake.
It just keeps going.
Yeah, it's just a gift that keeps on giving. I know this is divisive. It's like him and Billy Joel are like two people you can't speak ill about, and I don't like either of those people.
They have similar qualities, that kind of like, I'm writing about the people in my town.
I don't buy it.
Yeah, Dave, I mean, if I know you, your thing is like, you're a millionaire. Why are you pretending you're like a blue collar?
That's often my thing, yes.
Yeah. You say that no matter where you go. If you're in like at the Gap,
I know.
Someone's like, can I help you? It's like, oh, look at you.
Yeah. Mr. You can't even help yourself. But what's funny is Bruce Springsteen fans often hate Billy Joel and vice versa.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, this is like a Dr. Seuss book.
Yeah. They live on opposite sides of Whoville or whatever.
I didn't know that.
Do you like Bruce Springsteen?
I love the one album
that Daniel recommended,
Nebraska, which
is the one Daniel recommended.
Yeah, it's a fascinating album because it was all demos of him by himself with a kind of a very ghostly reverb, and it's really atmospheric.
So I heard that, and I will say
that the producer's like, just put this out,
right?
And so and it's great. And then he has another album that is kind of similar. It's called The Ghost of Tom Joad.
Yeah. See, I think that I'd probably be more into. I have heard that album. Maybe I don't like it. Maybe it's 80s Billy Joel. I don't like 80s Billy Joel. Maybe it's just 80s Springsteen where everything's kind of overproduced.
Yes, they're all anthems. They're all stadium anthems, which I'm never into. I mean, I don't really like Queen even because I mean I really admire their like musicianship and even their songwriting, but there's something about the style where it's like every song is this huge theatrical.
Right.
And I don't know, I kind of like a little more of like a humble quality to music, but I guess it depends on your mood. I don't think I've ever been in such a huge triumphant mood that I can put on a Queen song and be like, this captures how I'm feeling right now.
I'm sure we'll get a lot of letters telling me I'm wrong about Bruce Springsteen.
I would say he's love him or hate him, but I'm a little in between. I'm kind of like, he's all right. I don't like a lot of the songs. A lot of them seem repetitive. Like he's just kind of like ranting over like
boring
stadium rock music.
He's boring. Sorry.
Well, anyway.
I mean, Daniel says I'm wrong about both Billy Joel and Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
So. I mean, my wife loves Billy Joel, but you're kind of forced to if you grew up on Long Island.
I at least think Billy Joel, it's not like I'm a big fan.
I like him
but
better.
He's got the melodies, though. Yeah. My issue with Springsteen is more like that kind of yell. Yeah, I like a lot of the songs sound like the same to me. I could be wrong. I don't know.
Sounds like
the thing that here's the thing though, and I was thinking about thinking about this earlier. That's the name of his like later album when he's older, Passing a Kidney Stone.
I know like he's listening and he's gonna like complain. Yeah. Somehow this always gets back to me.
Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah.
Or
I'm
Daniel.
Sure he's listening. Everyone.
I was thinking about this earlier though. I find pop music today, and there's no such thing as rock music today. Mm-mm. I find it all so boring and everything is the same.
Oh, yeah,
and
it's all watered down.
That
and
at this point, even artists I've never been into, like Bruce Springsteen, I'm like, well, at least they're like a specific personality.
Sure.
Like he's like he's someone who's like, he is Bruce Springsteen. Like he's nothing
man.
Else. I was just saying, you know what I mean? Like nothing else sounds like him. So I was thinking today, like even, and I even feel this way about movies I didn't used to like. I was like, well, at least it's like something.
Sure.
At least it's like an actual work of art.
It's not music by committee.
Yeah, exactly. Let's move on to some more news. I just have a few little super news items that some of you might have heard on the KMSU broadcast in the interview. I'm just going to throw some stuff at you, Dave.
Super news.
Breaking news.
They are apparently putting out a vinyl 20-song compilation that apparently they're going to call The Spine Surfs Alone, but it's going to be various stuff from EPs from the like late 90s to about, he says, 2005 that was never collected. So I'm a little confused about what would be on that aside from, I guess, The Spine Surfs Alone songs.
Yeah.
I don't know why they would title it that. That's a little strange to me, but
what else wasn't collected?
I don't know. Can you think of, but isn't stuff on like They Got Lost, that compilation?
Yeah, I have.
So I feel like they've kind of done that. But maybe there's something I'm not thinking of. Yeah, because there was like the Indestructible Object.
Yeah.
Look at us.
Look at
finishing each other's
sandwiches.
Yeah, so that's like a kind of a weird news. I'm not really a vinyl person, so I don't even know if I would buy it, to be honest. I don't know.
I'm getting into vinyl.
Yeah.
I don't know. What else do I have to do? What else I got going on?
I need my record player. I'm sorry. It kind of sucks. It doesn't sound
Ours
good.
Ours is great.
I don't know what to do.
I'm honestly too lazy for vinyl. You have to get up. and change it. Flip it over.
Oh my God, it's the worst. Well, it makes
like
it,
a baby. You have to get up and change it.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, it makes it like an interactive experience. So you build more memories in your brain of like, I remember listening to that album, mm-hmm. and I like got up and had to change, flip it over.
I don't need memories of getting out of my chair. Those are bad memories.
Yeah. So the other thing, well, Flansburgh said one song confirmed on it is T-Shirts, which was left off Here Come the ABCs. I mean, that doesn't excite me too much, but I mean, it is nice to find a home for a bunch of stray songs, I guess. I mean, that's very kind of them.
Yeah.
Warm-hearted.
Generous.
Yeah. The other thing is they said that they were working on a studio recording of Sapphire Bullets Backwards, which is called Still Lube.
Yep.
He seemed to be really excited about it. Again, everyone, I'm not going to play clips because I want KMSU to get the clicks on YouTube and stuff. Check out this interview. But no, Flansburgh talked about how they were really, really trying to nail the vocals to a way where if you play it backwards, it's like very, very exact.
I mean, it seems impossible.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. Yeah. I think that's a cool idea.
That seems so difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even record a song forward, let alone backwards. All right, thanks everybody.
You know what you remind me of, like the
a piece of shit.
No, like a talk show, the Tonight Show thing, like I'm doing a monologue and you're standing off to like the Andy Richter or whatever. Yeah. You'd be good at that. And then the main other news is possibly new IFC.
That's exciting.
The fan club will be launching, and I think this honestly, you know, I'm always conflicted about doing it because of money and stuff. But this would have me convinced, which is that Linnell said they want to make ViewMaster slide things, you know, that you put in the ViewMaster things like
as a kid.
Yeah. That's what you had instead of cable.
Yeah.
Here, watch this.
Exactly.
So basically, Linnell has been taking a bunch of photos on tour with his 3D camera, and that he says they want to do ViewMaster slides of these photos. And I'm like, that's a really cool item.
Complicated.
I mean, I'm trying to get less and less like about like possessing material items over the years because I have too much shit.
Possessions, man. They're just like, What do you need them?
And when you have a baby, you can tell me it's like all that stuff seems probably so unimportant, right?
It is, man. It's like possessions, they're just shackles for your mind, man.
But don't tell me you don't want these Linnell ViewMasters.
I'd rather have older songs from the crypt released.
As would I, but I think I feel like I talk too much about it, so I didn't want to say that. But
The IFC thing is one of the things I will spend money on every year. I mean, I don't really buy anything. Mm-hmm. Once in a while, something special enough, I'll spring for it. Yeah. I think those are very special, and they light up my life.
Yeah, they make it very attractive, this offer, because the vinyls and all the little things are fun. But, you know, it is hard. Like sometimes, I mean, I have like a drawer full of They Might Be Giant stuff. I'm like, I don't know what to do with some of this stuff, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm running out of room.
So that's, as far as I can tell, that's a lot of the latest TMBG news. I hope everyone enjoyed that.
I did.
Dave is like, he's...
What am I?
No, I was going to say something gross. I was going to say you wet your pants with excitement.
That's the least gross thing I thought you would have said.
You're used to that now because your whole life is pee and poo.
Exactly. Not as much as you'd think.
Really? I'm learning. I'll just say this. Dave, amazing dad. I've witnessed
him. Oh, stop.
I've witnessed him fathering. Well, I didn't witness you fathering your baby, but I witnessed you fathering, in a sense, what you're currently doing with your baby. Yeah. I've never seen this side of Dave. Yeah. And I think it's a beautiful thing.
Thanks, man.
His baby is so cute.
He's very cute.
We gotta get him on the show.
Sorry. As soon as he starts talking.
I interrupted saying a nice thing.
I keep
thing
thinking of that song, you know, loving you is easy because you're beautiful. Yes. Now I get it.
Yeah.
I used to think that about you, you know, but sorry, my son's replaced you.
But yeah, no, Dave has taught me a lot about this process and having all this stuff.
Yeah, Danny, there's a lot of like what you think is like TV and movies, and it's like that's not quite
really
what's going on.
So wait, so your baby isn't a boss of anything?
Oh, no, he's the boss, but...
Yeah.
I say, you know, you always have like, I don't know, the idiot dad running around the house, like with the baby peeing on everything, like, whoa!
Yeah, and that's not happening in your
place. I did that a few times, but then you get...
Yeah.
Then you know what you have to do.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, and I've we've hung out, and I've seen
come
you
over, babysit. I'll show you the ropes.
We're definitely gonna do that. I'm gonna teach you to drive. You're gonna teach me how to take care of a baby. Same thing. So then the other thing we wanted to talk about was news for the podcast.
Big news.
And we don't have all the details, but I wanted to, it's kind of all me and Dave have been talking about lately, besides baby stuff.
Yeah.
In 2024, this is going to be the year of the Patreon for the show.
Oh, I thought you were announcing we were stopping.
We're stopping the show. Worry, we don't like They Might Be Giants anymore. Yeah,
just the opposite. We're going balls to the
We're going deep into
this. We're going dingleberry deep.
Dave had a child, and I said, you know what, Dave? I need more of your time.
If there's one thing you have more of now, it's time.
Yeah. No, we're actually, we've actually been very, I think cleverly thinking of ways to,
smart.
Do more stuff, but not have it feel like it's, too much stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, let me back up a bit.
We're
going to launch a Patreon.
Yeah.
I am excited about it. Dave's excited.
Don't put words in my mouth.
You motherfucker. We're going to have a few tears.
Yes.
A
few laughs.
That's good. That is good. That is good. I wish I could name them. Maybe I will name them tears. We have a lot of ideas. We have too many ideas, actually, for fun bonus stuff for people who want to support the show. We are definitely going to make it worth your while, I think.
We'll do our best.
We already have recorded some fun bonus audio, which, I have to say, when we were done, I was really buzzing. I was like, that was so fun.
Yeah.
Partly because the Patreon bonus stuff, I think, will be a little more fun and loose and not as me researching for weeks and weeks. Not that it won't have some, good information, but whatever. I think it's more about for people who enjoy our personalities and stuff.
Our canter.
Our candor. So, that's what's happening. There's going to be more details soon. I don't know if we want to hint at stuff. For each episode, we're going to, here's the thing. With every They Might Be Giants, with so many songs of theirs, there's so many tangents we can go on in terms of what They Might Be Giants are singing about or referencing.
They're referencing the cultural significance.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of what we cut out of the show sometimes is we talked a lot about this one movie or whatever that They Might Be Giants lyric is about, and it's we got to move on.
Yeah.
The Patreon for us is exciting because we can finally not stress so much about cutting stuff out. We could be like, that'll be for the Patreon.
Yeah.
There's so many, not every They Might Be Giants song allows us that, but a lot of them do, and there's also a lot of maybe more off-topic stuff that is kind of parallel to They Might Be Giants. Like me and Dave, we just love talking about Frank Black and Violent Femmes. And,
so there may be additional music talk.
Yeah, music talk.
There may be some movie talk. Stuff we've been talking about for a while that we wish we could talk about but doesn't fit.
Yeah.
If you're fans of the podcast, if you're fans of us talking about stuff, you may be interested in it. You may not be.
If
you're not, don't subscribe.
Yeah, exactly. And the I kind of think of it as it'll be the hub of the Jordan and Dave show where we can kind of do what we want. And it'll still have a lot of connection to They Might Be
Giants. It's still mostly They Might Be Giants.
Just because they're a band that they are the perfect bands for a podcast for a discussion podcast. Because all their stuff just branches out to so many other topics. So we'll have maybe extended interviews that we do and stuff like that. Stuff where it's
bonuses.
So
bloopers.
Bloopers. Yeah. I actually have been acquiring deleted segments from the show for a few years now, but I have no idea how good. I haven't listened to them in a long time.
I'm sure if that's the stuff they cut out, imagine what they leave in.
Yeah. So that's basically the tall and short of it. Is that a phrase?
Long and tall?
Long and tall weekend of it.
So start getting ready.
Start your engine.
Be excited about more Don't Let Start.
More Don't Let Start. And
a podcast about They Might Be Giants.
Hopefully, the idea is that the Patreon subscribers will inspire us to keep doing this. And, and I plan to be very active on there. We were talking about a Discord, which I heard the kids are into.
I didn't even know what that was.
I'm still not clear, but everyone has told me we should do it.
Isn't it just instant messenger?
I think it's like a chat. It's a chat. Yeah. So I definitely I'm very excited to spend a lot of time on the Patreon and also we're going to ask you people, what do you want? What do you want us to do? What's a good idea?
And we'll mostly not listen to you, probably.
We might stumble along the way, but our intentions are good. We just want to make the show more fun and more successful and better for everyone.
Yeah.
And also because, you know, to be very honest, it's like this show is a giant time commitment for both of us.
Sure.
Especially for me with the whole recording setup and stuff. So I'm like, it really has reached a point where labor of love is, it's nice to have laborious. A labor of love, but yeah, it's laborious of, but
laborious of love.
But to get, you know, if it's a thing where I can avoid getting a third or fourth job because I do this podcast and have supporters, that's the ideal, right?
More power to us.
So yeah, I'm
be on the lookout.
Dave, are you're excited about that?
I'm excited.
Yeah.
We're gonna bust out, Jerry.
We had a big meeting about it.
Yeah.
We were at different ends of a giant table in a boardroom.
I didn't hear a word he said.
Yeah.
A couple of ideas I've had that didn't quite fit in over the years, you know, that maybe they'll find a home on this
Patreon. So badly want to say them, but I think surprises are good, too. Yeah.
Some of them I haven't even told Jordan yet.
Whoa.
They're going to be exciting.
And like I said, the stuff we record already, I had so much fun doing it.
That was more fun than any episode.
It's kind of true. I mean, it's weird. It's, you know, it's sort of a weird thing. Like, the episodes leave me feeling very, like, artistically satisfied because I worked hard and I did this really like research. Yeah,
but they're joyless.
Saying exactly. I think the Patreon will have a lot of more fun.
We'll see
a good release.
I mean the fans.
Sexually.
Yes, always. The fans have always been very supportive of us.
Yes.
With the way they email, the things they do. So we want to do more for them.
And they have told us, I asked directly, a lot of them said they would really love a Patreon thing. So hopefully we'll see. We'll see what happens in 2024.
Maybe we'll give up.
And then, if it doesn't work, we'll stop it. That's just sort of it.
I mean,
right?
I got enough on my plate. I don't need anything.
Yeah, you know what? Fuck this whole thing. Yeah. We don't need a
Patreon.
You know
what? Yeah, let's not do it.
Yeah, let's just quit the whole,
But I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, me too. So that's it.
That's the show.
That's our show. Dave, I don't know about you, but I am hungry for emails from listeners. I am starving.
I'm so hungry. That was very cruel. I haven't eaten dinner yet.
Don't let's start podcast at gmail.com.
I got low blood sugar.
We did a giant letterbox episode and we kind of cleaned out our inbox.
Yes.
Please send us emails. Don't let's start podcast at gmail.com. I'll say it again. And then also please follow us on our Twitter at don't let's pod. A lot of the action is there, everyone.
Yeah.
I interact with people. I got DMs going.
That's where it's all
likes,
happening.
Retweets. I've got all the shit.
You got to go downtown.
We've got our next episode, which will be in 2024. We're going to talk about the 80s demos. Yes. We have a special interview guest that was really cool for that. We've got a lot to cover.
Yeah.
I have it's been a little crazy.
We got to get down to business.
Yes. So we will be doing that. I'm especially excited as a preview. I've got just a massive Hell Hotel segment planned out.
There you go.
That is an incredible song that has been lost to a lot of fans. A lot of fans don't even know about it probably. Yeah. But yeah, we've got a lot going on next.
So everyone have a safe and pleasant holiday.
Have a happy Hanukkah.
Have a good new year. And we will see you in 2024.
That's the future. Goodbye.
Santa Claus is coming to town.